Welcome back to Elevate, y'all. We really excited today. I have my sister, my girl here with me, Chloe Cleaves, and she is the master brand strategist, architect, specialist. She's in the building.
All the things.
Yes. Period. So she's going to be talking to us about her story as it relates to her journey as a brand architect, as well as giving us some amazing advice that you don't want to miss. So whether you are an aspiring entrepreneur or if you're an entrepreneur and just want these tips, we want you to stay until the end. Chloe, please. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited about this.
Yes. I'm really excited. Same. So I'm going to read a little bit about your bio.
Okay.
And we're going to jump into some questions.
How does that sound? I'm ready.
All right, let's go. So Chloe is a visual brand architect and lead designer at the Chloe Branding Company. Strategically develops and aligns visual brand identities for forward-thinking founders. Chloe is a visionary, content creator, and branding expert. With over a decade of experience in crafting compelling narratives and authentic visual identities, she specializes in helping businesses and individuals take their brands to new heights through innovative campaigns and authentic visual storytelling. With Chloe, it's not just about content creation. It's about empowering you to take control of your brand's direction and really disrupting the narrative.
Yes.
There's a story behind that.
There is.
There's a
story. I feel like I've disrupted a few narratives for myself, for clients, just in general. But there's definitely a story.
100%. I would love to hear. And what I always like to learn is what inspired you into this work?
To be honest, it just kind of kept happening. Mm-hmm. There was never a thing that's like, oh, I'm going to be a creative. But when I think back to things that I said to mm-hmm. just affirm myself 10 years ago when I was like, or not even 10 years ago. 13 years ago when I started college, mm-hmm. I was like, I don't know what I want to do, mm-hmm. but I want to be a business that can help other businesses.
Yeah.
I didn't know how to do that. Mm-hmm. So then I chose to pursue a marketing degree. Yeah. I was like, okay, well, every company is always going to need a marketing person or there's Absolutely. Always a marketing department. Again,
yes.
no idea what to do with it. Mm-hmm. Entrepreneurship wasn't a big thing at right. that time. Like, this mm-hmm. is when everybody might right. be on Big Cartel, and that's a might.
Mm-hmm.
Might. Mm-hmm. But I was like, there has to be a way I can help. Like, I studied right. business law at first. Mm-hmm. I learned coding when I was 18.
Wow.
My other degree is actually information systems, so I've always been really big into, like, automations. I'm like, well, how does this work?
That's incredible.
Again, no idea how
you
to use
already
any of it.
Forward thinking yeah. in that time because nobody was really thinking about
no,
that.
I still had no idea what to do with that, though.
Wow.
Like, at all. So I was mm-hmm. like, okay, I'm going to get a marketing degree. And then I started, like, thrifting a lot. Mm-hmm. And then I started helping style people a right. lot because I used to like getting dressed. So I worked. Right. So I graduated college in 2013 mm-hmm. and went straight to corporate. I lived mm-hmm. in the Midwest, Milwaukee, Chicago.
Wow. All those.
Right. So I am okay. used to the cold a little bit, you know. lived in the Midwest, mm-hmm. and I was in the marketing department.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they really taught me Photoshop and product right. development
mm-hmm.
and things of that nature. However, right. because it was Milwaukee, I was very unhappy. Like, the mm-hmm. cold most of the year is not for
just,
me.
You were just, your mood.
I'm like, at all. So I had to find an outlet. Mm-hmm. So what I did was, I'm like, I'm going to get back to the styling part. Right. So I actually started styling people on the weekends.
Okay.
And this is when Thumbtack had just got started.
Wow.
So if y'all know about Thumbtack, then you know. So I put my styling services on Thumbtack.
Right.
That's what really happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then little by little, that turned into, okay, well, you style me for a photo shoot. The few mm-hmm. business owners that there were, and some people just wanted to be styled just
right.
because.
Right.
So then little by little, I'm like, I took that, turned it into a blog, mm-hmm. start reaching out to small businesses
right.
that had fashion boutiques. Because even though mm-hmm. I had a salary, I was like, there has to mm-hmm. be a way that I don't have to spend all my salary on
right.
clothes because I'm a shopper. Still
right.
a shopper. And I reached out to boutiques and I was like, if you send me clothes, mm-hmm. I'll take pictures in them. Because
Love
a lot
it.
Of black-owned businesses, especially, they use stock photos to start.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And this is, like I said, nobody was entrepreneurs, so everybody wasn't doing all these photo businesses. And
That's
then
huge.
Little by little, I was like, well, let me help you do the website, too.
Right.
And it just kept spiraling.
It's
into
incredible.
This full package now.
Mm-hmm.
So there was never, this was never the goal, but it was.
Yes.
All at the same
time. Direction. And really disrupting the narrative.
Yes.
There's a story behind that.
There is.
There's a
I feel
story.
Like I've disrupted a few narratives for myself, for clients, just in general. But
really become digital. and that everything would shift in terms of the way we do business, the way that we interact with customers. Mm-hmm. But you were, were already in this sort of wave of thinking before that. So I'm wondering, during the pandemic, how did that change your, I guess, your industry, if any?
Honestly, that was my best year in business, because I think so many people had the time to really sit down and evaluate their businesses and realize, like, oh, I don't have this in place anymore. Right. And then people doing their own thing. But then some people were like, listen, this is also why everything is cheaper. Mm-hmm. So let's do the full package, because it's cheaper right now to fly, to get to you, to buy the clothes if I need it for a shoot. Whatever the case. So that was a revolutionary year. And I think now, though,
I love it.
There's so many quote unquote side hustles that people have now discovered, to where sometimes it's hard for people to understand why you need branding, because always, you know, just keep it raw, use the phone. Right. Sometimes you got to go a little beyond that.
I love that. This is really good information. Tell me more about the importance of a brand or brand identity in running a business. Yeah, a lot of people don't know this information, or may not feel it's as important, but this is really crucial and pivotal to our success.
It is, and a brand is a lot of things. Mm-hmm. It's not just, and I know people hear this all the time, but it's not just the colors. It's not just the logo. Mm-hmm. It is those things, but those things are very subliminal.
Right.
So you have to really have the science behind them. Like, I actually do color psychology. So that's like one of my favorite parts, honestly, of a brand. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Of a brand identity, because for when the season changes to cold, what are the colors for when the energy changes, what are the colors if something deep is going on in the world, and how does that continue to construct a story subliminally to people? A brand is a narrative, and you have to be able to control the narrative if you're a brand owner. Like, what are people saying about my brand and why? What is the reputation of the brand? And even still, a lot of that comes from the visuals. If you're thinking about it from a perspective of, I'm just going to keep using my phone for all the content, okay, yes, that means maybe that gives the thought of authenticity, if anything else, in your brand. But then what else? How long are you going to show just the, this is the day-to-day DIY aspect? You still have to show the results. You still have to show what you're working towards. People like to be on the journey with you. People like to know, why did you start? Like, there's a lot of things that go into it. So my special talent is to be able to, like, really spend time with people, talk to the person, get to know them, and take that energy, infuse it into a story, a campaign, a lot of storyboarding, photo shoots. Like, a lot of what I do is photo. There's still design. But I focus on photo, because those are things you can't duplicate. Like that, like, there's photos, and you can take them, but for a video and to see, like, the raw aspect of things and to do a design, like, you can get custom designs made, but a design, if you think about it, can be traced.
So tell me more about, like, this photo piece. What's the, how does that register with people? How does it impact people when they see the photos that you're selecting and the ways that you're laying it out? What's the psychology behind that?
If you think about the old saying, a picture says 1,000 words, 1,000,000 words. You don't know what I'm talking about. Either way, a bunch of words. This one photo says those bunch of words. But so what I do when I'm selecting, so most of my clients actually do let me select the photos, because I'm like, okay, these are for marketing. These are for your email campaigns. These are for the website. This is for social. Could be for all of them. No matter. But every photo should say 1,000 words.
I love it.
So headshots can only get you so far. I know everybody's like, I gotta update my headshots.
Everybody like headshot.
But I'm like, a headshot doesn't say as many words as when you have photos that tell the narrative. So
I love that.
One fun fact, too, about photos is understanding the difference between photos from a brand shoot and photos from a campaign shoot. So that's also a difference.
That's good.
So brand shoot photos are typically where, you know, you're doing the, yes, the headshots, but you also, you might, you know, you might hold your mug, you know, hold your computer. But now people are getting way more creative, which I love, finally. and so those are just kind of showing people what to expect, what type of quality to expect from you, what to always see from you. Are you polished? Are you fun? Is it high energy? What are they getting from you? But a campaign is typically for a very specific marketing purpose.
Okay.
So once you start to understand your brand more, and people do know know what it's putting out, then mm-hmm. you can say, okay, I need this campaign to get me more followers. This mm-hmm. campaign should sell this specific product or this specific service or mm-hmm. whatever the case. So it's focused on that limited time
right.
thing. And it's one large push of content versus mm-hmm. a brand should use that for continuous mm-hmm. spacing it out, putting it out mm-hmm. little by little. So it can go a lot of ways.
You know, you stepping on my toes here, Chloe, because you know. I'm thinking about that one little same headshot I be using for bread.
I done seen it. I done seen it. And I'm going to get you after this, but it's fine. It's
so
fine.
So we going to have to work out a campaign shoot. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, I think at some point you're definitely going to need a campaign, especially for, mm-hmm. like, different programs that you guys do.
Yes.
Like, if there's a specific time of the year the program
yeah.
is, that would be a campaign.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You see what I mean?
This is good because we got a number of campaigns happening in 1 year span. So I think we definitely going to have to call on Chloe.
Please.
After this and talk
Please
a little
call.
Bit.
Please call. I've been waiting on the call.
We gonna make that call, y'all. Y'all hear that? I raise folk listening and tuning in. We gonna make that call. So you're a young Black woman in business.
I know that
there are a lot of obstacles and challenges to being a young Black woman in business. If you mm-hmm. can speak to some of those so that you can help those that are, you know, that identify as you.
I think the main challenges for me over time have mainly been funding, mm-hmm. but also the aspect of just knowing what to do in business. Because like mm-hmm. I said, I started at a time where entrepreneurship was not what it is now.
Right.
And honestly, I feel like even some people who may identify as entrepreneurs, mm-hmm. a lot of people, like I said, they've just been starting more side hustles because everybody's trying to get their multiple incomes and
right.
have the money. Like a lot of things are happening out of desperation.
Yeah.
But for the actual business owners that specifically do that, and mm-hmm. it's your, you know, your actual living, your bread and butter,
right.
it makes it very hard if you don't already know what to do. And
right.
there's not always the time where you can invest in a $10,000 coaching program
right.
or things like that, but you know you want to do more in your business. So
right.
I think the obstacles typically come from knowledge and funding. But
wow.
I have gone very hard over the past decade to just do what I can and mm-hmm. be in the right spaces,
right.
be in the right rooms, figure out, okay, if I can't do that right now, what can I do right now?
Sure.
So there's never a time where you should stop. It's okay to slow down, but never a time, especially if this is something that's really on your heart to
yeah.
do that keeps you up at night. And I know this is like, you know, typical saying, but
mm-hmm.
you have to learn how to maneuver
sure.
through that space.
Mm-hmm. That's so powerful. I'm thinking of what are some of the thinking traps? I feel like, I think as women of color, just as women,
yeah.
We deal with some of our own thinking traps that gets in our own way. What are some
yeah.
of the things that you would say maybe that you've experienced that was a thinking trap for you?
I think the
and
main
how to overcome
thing,
it.
If I'm thinking about recent
mm-hmm.
time,
sure.
Because if I go too far back, we're going to be here for a minute. But if I think about recent times, just imposter syndrome is
mm-hmm.
huge. Because like I said, this is a time now where everybody
mm-hmm.
is doing something similar or knows someone that's doing something similar
right.
or even cheaper,
right.
whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't used to be like that. So
right.
the competition, when you see someone else that's seemingly doing better than you, it's hard.
Right.
And just to be transparent, because I told you I would.
Girl,
so,
just give it to us.
Listen, I'm going to give y'all the real. So a thinking trap,
mm-hmm.
this wasn't even a thinking trap. I think this was trauma. But it,
mm-hmm.
it led to a thinking trap.
Sure.
So 2015 through 19, I was in
mm-hmm.
an abusive relationship.
Wow.
So in that time, mm-hmm. I was beat down a lot verbally.
Right.
So it made it really easy to get in my head about anything. And
right.
I didn't realize how that carried on after the fact.
Right.
So it's like now in the age of you see so many people doing something similar
sure.
or seem to be doing better,
mm-hmm.
it can be hard. Like I'm in a way better space now.
Right.
But
right.
that was hard at first to really
mm-hmm.
say like, oh, I'm still valid. I'm still that girl
Absolutely.
At doing this thing.
Right.
And a lot of people I know that are on social media, like I know some of the people that have the hundreds of thousands of followers.
Mm-hmm.
And in real life,
mm-hmm.
it's not what it seems. So the
Absolutely.
Main thinking trap is to not get stuck
mm-hmm.
because you really don't know. Like social media does give that power for people to have a facade.
Right.
But it also gives the power for some people to shrink
yeah.
from their actual potential.
That is so powerful. You are actually creeping into a power series that I'm working on.
Call
and we're dealing
series.
With some of these thinking traps.
Oh,
absolutely.
Wow.
And I think it's what you know, trauma, you hit it.
Yeah.
It is one of the major root causes of a lot of thinking traps that we deal with. especially imposter syndrome. Yeah. Whether you felt beat down before dealing with insecurities or self-fulfilling prophecies, and those things sometimes they come back. They're negative thinking cycles that you have to break free of by shifting paradigm.
And sometimes people don't even realize that they're in the cycle. Yeah. Like, you're just happy. Absolutely. Like, I know for me at first, I was just happy to be out of the relationship alive, you know?
Wow.
But then as life kept going, you know, other relationships happened after that and things of that nature. I'm like, we need to circle back. We need to, there's something that needs to be dug deep into. I will say the main thing that helped me overcome was consistency.
Yeah.
Like, to tell myself every day to still post something. Right. To, you know, and I'm just getting back in that space. And if anybody follows me on Instagram, but my birthday campaign is what really pushed me back this year alone. Because that's the one time of the year where I get to be fully creative without so many parameters to sell something per se. Mm-hmm. But, like, my birthday campaign is for me.
I love it.
This year my theme was Alien Superstar.
Okay.
And the reason, and there's a reason. A lot of people, I've never told anybody this story, but there's actually a reason behind every birthday theme that I do. And this is my fourth one. So
what's the story behind
The story behind this one is, I know we all in our Renaissance era, you know, but it wasn't that. It just so happened to be a play on words for me. Sure. Like, I had to realize, like, this was the year where I had to realize that everything that makes me different, because I'm very different from my friends in a sense. Right. Like, I'm very different from just people.
Yeah.
Like, every time I'm talking to someone, I'm usually like, I don't relate in that way.
Right.
But I had to realize those are the things that make me someone that they gravitate to. Those are the things that make me have superpowers. Those
Absolutely.
Are things that I can infuse into my business. That's the brand. That's the,
yes,
you know, that's the
brand.
Reputation of things. It's like, that is the thing. That is your thing. You are that different thing that you tell people they have to have in their business.
Mm-hmm.
So those same things that make me an alien make me a superstar.
Oh, my goodness. You are all up. You know, I love you, Chloe. And, you know, so that's another thing. And I think that it's a powerful thing to come into recognizing that sometimes you think what's your weakness is actually your superpower. I just did a post on that like a month ago. Could it be that your weakness is actually your superpower?
Wow.
And that's what a lot of times we think. You know, for me, I think it was my lived experience going through trauma. Mm-hmm. That was my alien. But in reality, it was my superpower.
I love
what I endured, what I sustained. The trauma, abuse, domestic violence, very similar to your story, growing up, living in a homeless shelter, so many things.
Oh, wow.
Was my superpower. But I was so ashamed of it. And shame is one of the things that will keep us from embracing our potential.
And the things that I feel like sometimes the things that we may be ashamed of, we have no reason to be.
Yeah.
But the thing is, no one talks about their traumas.
Right.
So you don't even know that someone could have went through the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, I even just look at people that even seem misfortunate, and you just don't know what they've been through.
Sure.
Like, to really stop and think before you judge someone, before you really, like, you know, try to project something onto them because it's different from you.
Absolutely.
I think that goes unseen a lot by everybody.
Right. And I think it's important that we embrace all of the things about ourselves and stop trying to, you know, I think what our challenge has been is also trying to blend with mainstream and succumbing to culture rather than being
who we are. And it's all easier said than done.
Oh,
that's
the
thing.
The pressures.
It always sounds like, oh, everybody say that, you know. But honestly, I don't even think you can hear it too many times because you don't even realize how sometimes you might have already shrunk back.
It's right under your subconscious. You don't even realize.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's a Selah moment for people that don't know what that means. That means pause and think about it. Like, think about that.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of times we don't pause and just take it in. Take it in for a second. Be like, you know, I definitely have a lot of those moments every day. I'd be like, hold on. And then I'd be like, let me get back to it. I'm ready. I can keep going.
I love it. Tell me more about your healing journey. You talked about, you know, some of the traumas you went through. I'm wondering if there's any connection between your brand and your healing, you, even like your superpower becoming
this
incredible woman that you are today.
I definitely think there is, because the way that I do visuals, and I think you've asked me this before, but the way that I do visuals, what makes them different is the fact that I make sure that my clients know it's okay.
Yeah.
That their alien makes them their superstar. We're just going to keep with
the
Chloe. We're just
going
to keep with the analogy.
That's okay? Good. Let's go.
We're going to keep with the analogy, but the thing that makes them who they are is what I try to infuse into the brands visually and subliminally.
Yeah.
Without, like, it might not be a person where you have to tell your entire story.
Sure.
To, and you're not going to be able to physically touch everybody in the world. Like, nobody is. So you have to figure out, like, how do I put my energy? Like, I have one client. She's so down to earth, one of the sweetest people. But if you don't know her, she may seem like, okay, she just likes really nice things. And she does. And she works hard for these nice things. Right? But at the same time, I had to tell her everything about you that some people may not be a fan of is what makes you you.
That's right.
That's what we're going to infuse into the brand. If you like nice things, we need to make sure women know that it's okay they do this and nice things.
Absolutely.
And that's part of the brand, like to make everyone feel inclusive and beautiful and things of that nature. So every client is like that. Like, I spend so much time with them to really just learn what is their thing, what is their message. But I do that from a visual perspective. And you have to think, I know messaging is huge in business. You got to have, you know, your business plan and your about and all that. All that's important, not negating it. However, if you think about it, especially from the content perspective, the ads, the website, the anything people see, they see it before they read.
That's right.
So if you're not captivating those words, I'm not saying words can't sell for you, because I know how important copywriting is. Like, I've worked with the professional copywriters and things like that. They're worth the investment. Period. However, if I just see, if you think about it like this, if you just see a page, if you think of an email when you first draft it, it's just white, and then you're typing black words on it. If I look at that, if I'm not looking to read, that's not going to make me buy something.
Absolutely.
If you think about that from a post perspective, that's why some people are using now, like, the threads and the and the Twitter stuff, because it's a swipe and it's short information. But if you see just a lot of white background with a lot of black words, that's not initially drawing you to it, unless you're really a reader in that sense. But visually, that's why sometimes you'll have a really great video and then a nice caption that then explains it, because you caught their attention first. Now they'll read. So it can, it goes a lot of ways now. It's things you invest in first before you spend so much money on visuals, because it does get expensive. But there's a reason, for sure.
So business owners, entrepreneurs, we must invest. And what is it, visuals, or is that under marketing budget, or where would
typically it would be under marketing budget?
Under the marketing budget.
Some people might have a brand budget. Every business is different, but marketing for sure. And that's another thing different about campaigns and brand shoots. Brand shoots, you're supposed to use your pictures to sell things, tell people stuff, all that. But campaign shoots are typically specifically to make you money. So if you ever talk to a photographer and they and you tell them, oh, I want to do this campaign, and you're wondering why is their price higher than if it was a regular brand shoot, it's because it's specific. They're probably even buying additional equipment to make this campaign look a specific way, because they know this is to tell a story. A campaign is typically just a short period of time, so you got to make as much money as you can, get as many people on board as you can in a very short amount of time. And so therefore it has to be very meticulous how they do it. Like, I know for a fact, most photographers I know, if you work with me, you know I'm a storyboard. I'm going to lay everything out. I tell you every single shot. And it's not take away from the creativity, but it's to make sure we get everything, because a campaign is just different. Like, you're supposed to have specific selling goals and all of that stuff. And it comes with territory.
It makes sense, finally. I always wondered, you know, when I'm doing my campaign, I ran for office two times, one in Atlanta, one in New York City. And I would always wonder, why is everything so expensive with these campaigns? Campaign shoot, campaign photos. And it was always a story. We would go into certain environments and capture certain photos and talking to constituents and so forth. So it makes sense now. I understand.
Even if you think about influencers, when they do campaigns, the photographers typically would charge them, because they know typically these companies are paying them thousands of dollars. So this is for a specific campaign. And it's also including for their usage rights, intellectual properties. There's a lot that doesn't go seen to the naked eye if you're not in business or if you're new to business. Like, you have to really be in a space to understand it.
Wow. This is incredible. But one of the key takeaways that I am taking away from this conversation is the importance of being authentic.
Yeah.
And that people connect at the level of authenticity. And that you've been helping people to embrace their authentic self. But in doing so, you have to embrace yours. So I love that theme, but I'm wondering if you can give any tips or advice to women or young aspiring entrepreneurs.
Yeah. Because I think content, I realize, is what gets a lot of people stuck.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
Talking about
the
me.
Content specifically. The content is what gets people stuck. Mm-hmm. So that's what I did. Like, really, you don't have to put the pressure on, oh, I got to do it all in a day. I got to do this. Just start. Tell someone your story. Don't be afraid to tell someone your story. Don't be afraid to do that one thing. Mm-hmm. What I do, every time I get an idea, I write it down. When I have the capacity to do one, I just go down the list and cross out what I can. Yeah. And then I realize, when I look back, I realize I've done most of the things.
Yeah.
So keep pushing. Like, you can't not do it.
What are your talents? What are your gifts? What are you not giving? Where are the places in your life where you have felt stuck and where you felt stagnant? And what are some of the things that you can do to begin to do that? As a powerful, young, Black, successful entrepreneur, it is commendable.
Thank you for having me. Like, I enjoy this conversation. A lot of times sometimes you have to realize how important you are in real time.
Any last words, Chloe?
I enjoyed. I guess, am I supposed to tell them where to follow me or something?
Please, how to follow you.
I'm the Chloe Brand on all socials, THECHLOEBRAND, the Chloe Branding Co. for the business thing. So if you type it, I promise both of them probably going to pop up. They start the same way. But, yeah, I hope to do this again.
Yeah. I have my sister, my girl here with me, Chloe Cleaves, and she is the master brand strategist, architect, specialist, amplifying these positive messages. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We'll see you soon.